Yes, please. Would you just stand? You're going to do that again this morning? With the remaining time that we have, you're going to help me preach, and hopefully we'll deposit a word for you, and I believe it goes really well with your theme. But let's just go into Romans chapter 10 real quick, and we want to start reading from verses 12 to 15. And if you don't have your Bible, follow on the screens behind us. It says here, "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him." How many of you are a product this morning that you're blessed because you called on him? Come on. "And so for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It doesn't say they might be saved. It says they will be saved. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written," and say this phrase together, "how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Father, this morning we ask that your word would just leap into our spirit, leap into our heart, and that you would allow it to come alive. Father, that even though this message is simple and we've heard it many, 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 many times, Father, would you cause it to bring a fresh passion in each and every one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Turn to your neighbor and say, "You look like you can use some church." You need some church this morning. So your series that you are going into is Outside the Walls. Outside the Walls. How many of you know that we're not the come-to church, but we're the go-to church? Right? That we don't just do church, but we are the church. And so this morning, I want to sort of help kick that off for you and build on this idea about the mission is the message. That everything that you do, everything that we do as a church and as ministries and all of your departments and all of your local outreach efforts and your global efforts, everything that we do is we do it because there's a message that we are transmitting to humankind. There's a message today that brought you here, that put you on the course and on the path that you are on today, that has put you on the journey that you are on today. And it is the same message that still needs to be declared. It is the same message that still needs to be proclaimed. It is the still message that thousands of people in this community surrounding this church, these four walls, need to hear. Amen? The mission is that we are on, and the mission as a church is that the mission of the heart of this house and everything that it does is that the message of Jesus Christ, that is the mission, that keeps going forward. The message is still fundamental to why we do what we do, why we invest all over the world, why do we build refugee housing, why do we help kids at risk and women at risk and send missionaries to China and wherever in Asia that you're working in. It is because this is a worldwide global movement of God. It is a global story. It is the message of Jesus, and it must keep moving forward. It must keep moving forward. And so, you know, I'm a church kid. I grew up in the church. I literally grew up in a church. I went from the hospital to living in the parsonage of the home. I'm a PK, and so we lived in the parsonage of the church, and I was the kid that lived and breathed church four or five times a week back in the day, and I was a kid that would go into my dad's office and sit on his chair and watch him finish doing his sermon on Saturday morning, and then I'd go into the auditorium and straighten out all the hymn books and make sure everything was neat and tidy for Sunday service. I was the kid that, you know, rode the church bus with my grandparents on the way to church on Sunday night, when Sunday night was the big thing, was the big outreach service, was packed out and people got saved, and I was in the midst of that movement of God and that Spirit of God. And so I lived and breathed church. But one of the takeaways that I have from growing up in the church and being exposed to a move of the Holy Spirit and revival, and seeing a church go from 200 to 1,000 people and water baptisms every Sunday night, one of the takeaways that I left and has left an impression that has basically changed the trajectory of my life since a young kid, was that the urgency in the telling and in the spreading and in the taking of the message of Jesus Christ. There was such an urgency. And I'm afraid to say that as I go through the Canadian churches across our nation today, we maybe have kind of lost that sense of urgency. And I'm praying that God would give us a revived, a renewed sense of urgency, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still the most powerful and life-transforming message that we can keep delivering, friends. And so, come on, how many of you know that you aren't just a byproduct of salvation this morning, but you are a byproduct of the message? Once upon a time, the message was sown, like the seed of the gospel was sown in the soil of your heart, and that soil brought fruit. It brought that seed brought manifestation and transformation, and because of the gospel that was put inside your heart, it changed the trajectory of your life. And so today we have a message that says, I was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I can see. You are the story of God's grace and mercy in motion this morning. Wow. This is the gospel. Jesus, and Jesus always goes before us. He always goes first. He always comes looking for us because he's a relational God. And he has something for each and every one of you this morning, each and every one of us today. And he's got something for each and every one of us, for the families that are living around this community today. So it doesn't matter what you've done or how far you think you've gone. I want you to know this morning, whether you're sitting in a balcony or whether you're sitting down here, I want you to know there is a God in heaven who comes and is searching you out.
Everybody look the other way. Maybe it's a sign.
I hate the devil. Not that, that you guys are the devil. I'm just saying, hate the devil. So he says, I have grace to spare for you. And maybe somebody here this morning needs to hear that, and you need to leave with that message. So we have been entrusted, church, with a message. We have been entrusted, not with just any message, but we have been entrusted with a life-giving message. It's a life-saving message. It's a life-transforming message. The message that still says Jesus is still the way, the truth, and the life, and no one could come except through the Father. Amen? And so the message is the solution this morning. He became sin on our behalf so that we can be changed. And God said, I choose you. He says, I choose the ecclesia. He says, I choose the gathering of God's people to bring about this message of good news and hope and transformation to the world around us. So why? I want you to know, because the message matters. The message matters. And it's your responsibility, it's our responsibility to get the message out from here to there. Wherever the there is for you, if for whatever reason people are being hindered or stopped by coming in here to receive the message and the gospel, then we need to figure out how we're going to get the gospel out there. Because everybody has a right to hear the message at least once in their lifetime, church. This still needs to be the main thing. The main thing is that we have a message and that Jesus Christ can save your life and change everything. And that message matters. See, sometimes life makes much. Sometimes life makes much of things that mean little. But when we shift our focus, everything changes. Suddenly eternity becomes our focus. Your world today needs to hear your story, needs to be exposed to how Jesus changed you from what you were and to what you are now. Come on, you need to be jumping out of your pew this morning. The fact that we are not in this world by our own choice proves that there is an initiative that precedes us and makes us exist on the planet with greater purpose. And today, we reflect the fact that each one of us is called to the reality that I am a mission on the earth. I didn't say you're on mission. I used to preach that message. I am the mission. You are the mission. The church doesn't have a mission program. The church is the mission. Come on, somebody. The church is the mission. That is the reason why I'm here. And we can proclaim what we have freely received, and we can freely share with people the way, the truth, which gives meaning to our life on the earth, to demonstrate, to live out the message that Jesus changes everything. Now that's a good message, that Jesus changes everything. And somebody in the house this morning needs to know that Jesus has the ability to change your situation this morning. He can change that marriage. He could change that broken relationship. He can change your financial situation this morning. He can change that disease, that illness, that sickness that you're bound by, that you've been trapped with. He changes everything. He changes everything. And so the church has been given a message. And the message is Jesus and Him crucified and the resurrection. It has been given a ministry. And the ministry is to love God and your neighbor as you love yourself. And you've been given a mission. And the mission is to make Jesus known and His name famous. Wow. To make Him known and His name famous. The mission is the message. And you know, all throughout the New Testament, we see Jesus living His life as a mission. In Acts 10:38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. I love that verse because it tells us that Jesus went about with all power, healing people who were under the dark influence, that pain under struggle of the evil one. And it says Jesus goes about doing good. One of the scholars in the commentaries said that this is the best summation of Christ's ministry in the entire New Testament. He says there is no better verse that sums up the ministry of Jesus. And if that sums up the ministry of Jesus, then I want it to sum up my life, my ministry, my purpose, why I'm on earth, because of all that Jesus has done for me. Think about that. What would your life look like on a daily basis if the mission of your life was to go about doing good? Like, when was the last time you woke up in the morning and you brushed your teeth and you're getting all ready to you start your day and you looked at yourself in the mirror and says, this day is about me going out doing good? What would happen if every single one of you that belong to Richmond Pentecostal Assembly would wake up in the morning and on a daily basis, you would have a perspective and an approach and a purpose and a drive and this thing that compels you that I'm going about doing good. What would happen in the city? What would happen in your school? What would happen in your workplace? That you actually went out with that consciousness that it's not just about business today, but it's about doing good. It's about downloading the goodness of Jesus, noticing people, treating people like you want them to, like you want to be treated, making time, being kind, lending a hand, showing compassion, being a source of encouragement, helping meet a need, sharing words of affirmation, taking the time to listen, showing hospitality, living out your life generously by doing good. The way you love and the way you care, the way you work, the way you give, it brings healing and help and it sets other people free. Just like you need a difference, and just like God, you made a difference in my life, I now want to make a difference in someone else's life. So Lord, help us to live that. Help us to lean into that. Lord, help me to know that this is me living out life, my life mission in spreading your message. Because that lifestyle preaches. You don't need a microphone and you don't need to stand behind a podium. That lifestyle preaches. Whenever you are downloading God's goodness, wherever you go, you are delivering the message of Christ and it preaches. I'll never forget when we were church planting in Crimea, Ukraine, and we sent one of our teams there from one of our local churches here and partners. They sent their interns, about 25, 27 students. And they had all their T-shirts and Canadian T-shirts. And so you can imagine, they went in one of the villages where we were planting churches. And they says, what could we do? What can we download goodness in this town? And so they went to talk to the mayor. And the mayor says, well, you know, we've got this bus stop in the town here that's really run down. And it really needs to be refurbished and cleaned up and repainted. And they're like, we can do that. We'll do that. And we'll buy the paint. And he's like, what? You're going to go buy the paint? You're going to do this? You came all the way from Canada to refurbish our bus stop? Like, really? And so this team went out. We got paint and started to scrape off all the old paint and the rust and cleaning it up. And we started painting it. And suddenly, all the people, the residents in the village, started coming out and crowding around this bus stop and watching this phenomenon of these students refurbishing this bus stop. And there's a crowd that just came out because they couldn't believe that a bunch of Canadians would come all the way from Canada to do this for their village. And so in the midst of that, the team leader says, okay, I want you to start telling your testimony and start telling your story. Something's happening here. It's like, feels like the book of Acts. And as they're sharing and they're telling their testimony, there was someone that started manifesting. And then that they were pulled to the side and we prayed for them and they were set free. And out of that whole phenomenon, around the bus stop of this village, four people came to faith that day. Just by getting a little bit of paint and doing some good in that community. And you see, friends, wherever Jesus went, he took the opportunity to download goodness. When we observe the ministry of Jesus, it was all about his good news tour. Come on. Luke chapter 8, 1-3. We're going to go through this fast. I know some of you have already gone up and left. I hate it when people leave in the middle of a message. So if you don't have to go, don't move. Stay with me. Luke chapter 8, verses 1-3. It says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another. Notice how Jesus was never stationary. He was never in one place. He never had this thing, hey, I'm here. If you need something, if you need the gospel, if you need some good news, you just come to me. Isn't that how the church sometimes acts? Like, here we are. Come to our gathering, take it or leave it. This is where we are. Jesus never was stationary. He was always moving from place to place. So, he was always going about, traveled about. He moved around, taking the gospel on his good news tour. That's what I love about our church. One church and that is affecting different places. And I love about how your church partners in different areas, locally, globally, all over, because we want to keep moving. We want to keep developing global partnerships. We want to keep going to another city and impacting another nation. Let's keep traveling about. Let's keep taking the message on the road. Amen, church? And so he was traveling around from one town to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. The disciples were always with Jesus. They were always with him wherever he went. But this is what caught my attention. It says, and also some women. How many women are in the house this morning? Also some women were there who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Now it begins to break it down and describe there were others who were following Jesus, and many of them had been set free, the Bible says, from evil spirits and diseases, because that's what happens when you keep spreading the message. This is the result when we proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. The gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, Christ crucified, the resurrection, something supernatural and dynamic always happens. In Romans 1:16, it says, the gospel is the power of God. Did you get that? Every time the message, the gospel gets released, power is being released. And when it gets released into a person, when it gets released into a community, into an environment, into a city, into a nation, there is this transformative, miraculous force that takes place that has the capacity to break through and bear fruit through the power of God. And that's what was happening here. And it starts breaking it down. It starts saying, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Wow. Not 1 demon, 7. How on earth did that happen? What pain and what struggle and what situation did she get herself into? What happened to her that this torment had come upon her life that she struggled with? But the Bible says this, friends, that later on she showed up at the tomb and she became a follower of Jesus and was completely set free and liberated. Right? See, come on, aren't you grateful that through the message of Jesus, it will reach out to those who are oppressed? It's going to reach out to those who are bound up and haven't lived a perfect life so they can experience transformation, and he will let everybody who finds grace to be on Team Jesus, everyone can experience freedom in Christ Jesus today through the message. And then it goes on in verse 3, says, Johanna, the wife of Chuzza, the manager of Herod's household. She was a woman of means. She was born in a wealthy situation. She had more, but guess what? As she followed Jesus, she began to realize what her more was for. It's a little good thing to write down. Because there is something you experience with Jesus that changes everything. And then there's Susanna, it says. Now, nowhere else is she mentioned in the Bible. Why is she mentioned? We don't know anything about her past. We don't know anything really about her present and future. It's just an ordinary person, average, ordinary person who doesn't necessarily feel like they've got what other people have or other people's status and title and popularity. Aren't you glad that God doesn't choose us based on all of that? Amen. He's just looking for people who are available, who have found grace and forgiveness and a new beginning, and their status isn't important, but grace is important. Here is the phrase that strikes me every time. It says here that these women were helping to support them out of their own means. Watch that. That's in the Bible. The New Living Translation says, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. What? They were supporting Jesus? They were supporting Jesus as the gospel went from city to city, person to person. They were giving out of their more, and they had found out what that was for. It was for the moving of the gospel, the spreading of the message. Let me tell you something. Why did Mary give? Because Mary had been set free from so much. How many of you have been set free from so much? And what is the natural response? I want to give because I've been given so much. Why did Johanna give? She gave because she realized how blessed her life had been. She was blessed. She was blessed with wealth and influence. Why did Susanna give? Because she realized how much Jesus had made a difference in her life. So why not go make a difference in someone else's life and many, many, many others? And we get to be part of the many others today, friends, in this city, globally, in what you're doing, nation, and around the world. Now, here is what we know about Jesus. Jesus, we know that he's a giver. He gave mercy. He gave grace, forgiveness, miracles. He gave his life. We celebrated that today. But there's another powerful truth about Jesus. Jesus was also a receiver. He was also a receiver. If there was anybody who could have financed his own good news tour, it was Jesus, right? Hey, I got this. I don't need anybody's help. I'm Jesus. I could snap my fingers. I could have everything I need to do my good news tour and spread the gospel from city to city, nation to nation. I don't need your help. I've got this. But he never took that approach. And I find it fascinating that Jesus wanted other people to participate with the spreading of the gospel all over the world. Why? Why? Why did he allow that? Because he wanted others to share in the supernatural power and blessings. Your generosity, their generosity caused the gospel to spread and move forward. And it's something that we're continuing to do as his people. But don't you like the idea of going on tour? Don't you? Don't you like the idea of going on tour? I'm on tour. You know, next time someone says, hey, what are you doing? I'm on tour. On tour. Where are you going? I'm just going to work. But I'm on tour. Because I'm going to get to download some goodness. There's a greater purpose to me in my work. There's a greater purpose for me to go to school. I'm on tour. You're on tour, friends. Jesus says to each one of us here today that out of our own means and offerings, we contribute and give so that the message keeps moving. It keeps transforming from one person to another, from one city to another, from one nation to another. I'm on tour carrying and delivering the greatest message of all time. Jesus is everything. He can save your life. He can change your life. He can set you free. He can give you hope. This is the message, church. The mission is the message. And our text says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Look at your feet right now. Come on, look at your feet right now. How beautiful are these feet who bring good news. Can you say that? How beautiful are these feet who bring good news. And friends, this morning, your generosity leverages others to go on tour and keep moving the message forward. What really matters is that this message, the good news of Jesus, keeps going forward. Come on, aren't you glad that it's not bad news, but it's good news? Because we've got a lot of bad news right now going on, but it's good news. I pray that the freshness of this good news would be revived in your hearts again today. It's good news, and we get to live it out. We get to support it out of our own means and generosity. Your generosity today can become someone else's source of good news. It can become someone else's moment in God, just like you had your moment in God. It has the full potential to be an open door for someone else's life who is in desperate need of transformation. And today God invites us all into this mission. What does it look like for you? How are you giving your life away to the mission and for the cause of Christ? I'd like the worship team to come as we bring this to a close this morning. I want everybody to stay put just for a few more minutes as we come to the closure of our service. Don't get distracted. But my questions to you are this. How are you giving yourself away to the cause of Christ? What are you willing to risk this morning? What is the why of missions for you? What are you willing to say yes to today? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now, asking you to do when it comes to the mission being the message? It's time to take action. And he wants to use you in your world, in your context, in your season, in your story and faith, in the stage of your life that you are in, your circle of relationship, to give away the gospel. Hey, I love everything that happens in church on Sundays and on the weekends. But we must love it even more when we leave the building and enter a world that is filled with broken humanity. And we get to become the gospel. We get to become the message in action. Amen. You know that song you did right before the hymn? Yeah. It was a song right before the hymn. I'll let you figure that out. But while he figures that out, let me just close with this story. I'll never forget when we were pastoring in Maple Ridge one Sunday morning. This 6'4" gentleman walked into the service late, and he sits, this big monster of a guy. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's happening here? And he comes and he sits in the second row. And, it was just strange. And then after the service, him and I met in the foyer, and he began to explain his life to me, and he began to explain how his wife had just left him, and we just had a connection, an instant connection. He came from Montreal, I came from Montreal, and we had an instant connection, and he just became vulnerable, like immediately. And I says, why don't we go to the side room? And so I took him to the side room, and we began to continue our conversation, and I could see how he was hurting. And that morning I was privileged to lead him through the prayer of salvation, and he got saved. But his name was Michael Heathfield. Michael was a businessman, he was a boxer, and he lived a complicated life. His situation was complicated, but after, when we said goodbye, I felt the Holy Spirit whisper to me, and he said, I'm giving you Mike as an assignment. He says, I'm calling you to be his friend and show him love and pour in the goodness of God into his life. And so Mike, he had my cell number, and he started phoning me, like, not just every day, but he called me anywhere between 5 and 7 times a day. My wife is like, what's going on with your cell phone bill? I had to, like, get another plan. We started to build this relationship and this friendship, and he started coming to church, and he would always sit right behind me. I would sit in the front row, and he would sit right behind me, and in the middle of worship, he would tap me on my shoulder and say, hey, I just want to remind you, I'm like your bodyguard, so I got your back. And he would do that every day. It's so funny. He was very athletic. He got me into training. He got me to think more, leading a healthy lifestyle, and he was so, we took care of his kids because of a restraining order, and so Liliana stepped in, and he literally became family to us. But Mike was still having his struggles, but God says, he's your assignment. You're just there to show God's love and pouring God's goodness in his life. And he would take us to hockey games, and he would take us out for our anniversaries and our birthdays, and he came over and had many meals, and he inspired us to in so many ways. But there was always this underlying tension between his spiritual life and his old everyday life that was kind of a back and forth thing. And then there was a span of several months that he became completely absent, and he stopped calling me and didn't answer my calls and didn't return my calls. And not too long after, I pick up our Ridge Meadows newspaper that came to our door, and right there on the front page, I read about how Mike was found dead in his home. And as I read that, my heart sunk. And I was in shock, and I felt sick, and I felt heavy, and all kinds of thoughts raced through my mind, and it grieved me deeply that I wasn't there for him. Mike lived in a world way over there, and there were all kinds of things that were confusing, and I didn't understand. And I just wished I could have been there for him, because I didn't know what those last moments in his life were. But I guess my prayer was that, Lord, in those last moments, I just pray that he called out to you. And as I was doing his graveside service and burying his ashes with his family on all sides, and his little son Zach taking his daddy's boxing gloves and placing them into the grave, to entrust Mike with the decisions he made and the life he lived in the hands of the sovereign God, who sees how life and eternity work together. I don't know what his last moments were like, but maybe he remembered a few things about our friendship that led him to call out to the one who saves. And maybe he did that. God only knows. And you know what? Why do I say all that story? Because it really puts things in perspective for us today. This idea of the mission is the message. Because there are a lot of mics out there in the world, in the school, and in the workplaces, and in the neighborhood, and in the city. And today, God invites us all into his mission. And he wants to use you in your world, in your context, in your season, in your story, in faith, the stage of life that you are in, your circle of relationship, and give the gospel away. Amen? Would you stand up to your feet this morning? My prayer today is that once again, we would be so compelled by the love of God to carry out this unchanging, powerful message to a broken humanity, having the full confidence that Jesus changes everything. Amen? Jesus changes everything. Would you lead us in this song, team? That Jesus changes everything. The message is the mission of our lives. Go ahead, team.